110 weeks of Paul and me and sometimes other people bringing you the hottest stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about every week, week after week.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've noticed, but I haven't been here for a couple weeks.
I know. It has been... The only adjective that comes to mind is glorious, but it's the opposite of glorious.
The opposite of glorious. Boys without boys.
Yes.
For 2 weeks. And, you know, I noticed in the first week I was gone, a lot of people were like, oh, where's Laura? We miss Laura. God, it's weird without that blonde girl. And then by the second week, I was gone, out of sight, out of mind.
No, I think it's the other way around. Like, the first week, someone was like, oh, I almost missed Laura. Or I almost didn't miss Laura.
It's funny how we get such different interpretations of the same messages.
No, well, then this last episode, in 109, there were a bunch of people. There's one person that wrote a code snippet about you. Did you parse that code? Do you know what that code?
You know, I was going to parse the code.
Do you want me to infer what it means?
I got really busy parsing other code.
I'll have what she's had.
Yeah, so there was
I didn't notice that, and I was like, why did he write that?
Yeah, so there's two people that wrote code. One was Mattis Mattis. He wrote some code to define that our stream was down versus just saying, dude, I can't stream the standard definition.
Right.
That's why you watch the high definition show.
Yeah, hello.
Come on.
Hello, and although then, I look better in low definition, but go ahead.
I disagree. I never
Next.
Mind. No, it's okay. Masakuma, then this person wrote some code identifying that he screams and wails when you're not on the show.
Get out of town.
I know.
Who wrote that?
Yeah, it's...
I'm going to learn how to code just so I can read that.
Yeah.
And post it on my wall. And then frame it.
And then two other people, XE Pone, said, odd, somewhere I swore I'm hearing more foy, less boys. And Harlequin said, why have ping without heart, foy, heart?
Look how we did those little hearts. Did you like that?
Yeah, it's frowny
I like
face.
That. But, yeah, you're right. They missed me.
Yeah,
good to be back.
I would say the most impressive comment that we got was from First, who said, first.
First.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was
and
really...
I appreciated your retort.
Yeah.
Paul
yeah.
says, I'm glad we've hit it big with the influencers and the elite of the internet population. So thank you, First, for that.
And I put
well
it in there twice. So
in,
that was brilliant.
Influential post. So there it is. So did you have fun without me?
I mean, Adam and I always have fun. The question is how useful are we really without Laura Foy bringing the Xbox back?
I hear you. Well, then let's not make them wait any longer. I say we start the show because we have a very special guest today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's waiting eagerly in the wings.
Okay.
So let's get to it.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, standing next to me is a man we all know and love and hopefully recognize, Lightbulb Larry Larson.
Yeah.
And he's here not only to make the show better looking, but also because he's written an app for Windows Phone, which actually is going to make you money should you opt to use it, which obviously you all should. And it's called Script TD.
You can call it scripted too, but I call it Script TD.
I like TD because it sort of reminds me of football. There might be some sort of NFL theme going on to it.
It reminds me of Tower Defense. So
Tower
I like
Defense.
It too. Yeah.
Okay, we're practically on the same page here.
So this is like STD, but you've expanded the S?
Kind of. We got rid of the S.
Okay.
So
Script TD.
Maybe in version 2.
Okay.
But tell us what it is, Larry.
All right, so Script TD is an open source tower defense game engine. So tower defense games are pretty much all the same. You know, you've got creeps that come in through one door, they try to leave through another door, you try to stop them by putting up towers.
Sure.
So the idea was to build a game engine that'll let you make your own tower defense game just by changing some of the XML code and changing the graphics, and that way you don't have to be a full developer to make a tower defense game.
So Larry and I were talking earlier, and he says that even someone, I don't know, as naive as, say, Paul, who knows nothing about coding, could actually build a game using this.
I don't know about Paul.
Yeah. Right, but I could. So
you could, definitely, yeah. So
I don't know. Have you ever seen XML, Laura?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
Size sweatshirt I wear.
Okay. Nice.
Woo, off my box. Anyway, Paul, I know you spent a lot of time is it a game? Is it an app? Is it a do you call it?
It is a game. It's an open source game, but the version that we have in the marketplace right now is kind of a code sample, so it's not a big robust game.
It's highly addictive, I must say. When I found out about this yesterday, Laura sent me the link to it. She's like, you got to install this. We're going to talk about it on the show tomorrow. And I was like, what kind of crap is Larry putting out there? I really want to zing him.
So you know my track record.
Then the next thing you know, like, I ended up playing this for 4 hours in, like, the last 18 hours. So I was up to, like, 3 a.m. playing this thing.
That's why you weren't playing Words by Post with me.
That's right.
I felt neglected last night.
So I'm playing this thing, and the first thing that shows up is this live tile with, like, a pretty professional-looking graphic.
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
I did not do that.
Larry didn't do that. But he is a good designer.
Farm that out to someone else. So okay. Clint Ruckus helped us, and Michael Quant was the actual developer.
I wasn't sure if it was like a self-portrait from earlier in your youth or anything.
No,
like that.
It's not a self-portrait since it is a cyclops. So
It wasn't a self-portrait. It might have been a while since I last saw you.
But so his family, perhaps.
One interesting thing, though, is we did a campus tour of the Microsoft Game Studios Sound Lab. And we met those people because of this game. We had them do the sounds for this game. So all the games are done by the same people who did, like, Forza and stuff.
Oh, cool.
So those are all in the... if you go to scripttd.coplex.com, you can download the whole thing. Has sound and everything.
Yeah, very
nice. How long have you been working on this?
Oh, it's been a few months.
And that's it?
Yeah.
But not like, full time, right?
No, it's just here and there.
He does work on Channel 9 in his spare time.
There's a couple things. A defrag show, maybe you heard of it.
Yeah. Isn't that what my computer does every Tuesday night at midnight?
It could be.
Yeah. It's that thing that's on Channel 9 when you're not watching Ping.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's never.
So how long would you say if I installed the app, or, you know, even Paul, who spent, I said, would you spend 4 hours last night?
Playing it.
But if I wanted to build my own tower defense game with my own graphics, I want little creep versions of Paul coming in that I can shoot with my blasters.
Yeah.
How long would that take me?
Well, it wouldn't take you long at all. You could just change the graphics to Paul, and right away you could compile it and be playing
now,
that
game.
Now,
what type of graphics is that? Is it like a bitmap or like a PNG, or does it not matter?
Yeah, so we use PNGs because we can have transparency, and you can just have.
So you really could take like any picture from Facebook, really, and just like kind of crop out someone's.
You could
head.
Have all your friends and have them coming through the doors and shoot your friends if that's what you're into, I guess.
I mean, it is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's only when I get really paranoid on the weekends. So.
Absolutely. So if you go to the Coplex page for it too, Michael Quant wrote about how to make new towers if you're a developer and you want to do like some more feature improvements on it. But then there's also a page that I wrote that talks about how to just tweak the XML, and if you want to change the graphics, you can do that.
Great.
And I've got a video coming out next week that kind of walks through some of that, too.
Cool.
So very easy to do.
So you said this is a very typical type of game, like a tower defense game. I haven't been playing a lot of games on my phone aside from word games, because that's what I play.
What
are some other popular tower defense games that people play on Windows Phone?
Geo Defense is a brand new one to Windows
Phone. Was that on Hot Apps?
Yes, it was on Hot Apps. Another tower defense game that was featured on Hot Apps is called Pirates Assault.
Okay.
Not as good as Geo Defense.
Now,
In the browser, I like Pirates Love Daisies, too.
Okay.
Pirates Love Daisies.
Now, would Plants vs. Zombies be considered the same type of thing, or is that...
Yeah, it kind of is, but it's not the typical one where, they come down just, a path. So it's not where they go around your tower and stuff like that, but it's kind of along the same vein.
So I was reading the comments on the one that you posted as the code sample that's actually in the marketplace, and you let me know like this isn't like an official game, but it's like meant to teach people like how these games can be made. But I didn't know this when I was playing it, and one person said Mission 2 of the 5 missions that you have is absolutely impossible. Would you agree with that? Is that just just to mess with people?
Because
I played that one for about 2.5 hours. I got to level 11 of 20, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it anymore.
All right, so every one of these I've played myself, and they might be very difficult, and there's a lot of different things that you can do to tweak the gameplay. Like, you can make some towers more powerful than others. You can change the upgrade path.
I figured that out after things flew over my nice little weaving path.
Yeah, and so you work your whole time on making a nice little weaving path, and then you have something fly over, and you're not prepared for it.
Exactly. So I figured that out.
So you want to find the towers that that handle certain creeps in a specific way.
Yeah.
And also, the upgrades make a difference. And if you want to, if you download the code sample, you can always go in and tweak it a little bit.
I want to beat the game the real way.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
To mess with the code. Okay.
All right, everybody, you can get it. It's in the marketplace now. It's called Scripted or ScriptTD.
Or STD, made by Larry Larson.
STD by Larry Larson. Go ahead and get it.
Go get my STD, please.
All right, Laura, in other mobile app news, apparently there are other phone types out there that Microsoft is making great apps for.
Yeah, actually, I'm a little confused by this strategy.
Yeah.
But I am interested in the app that they're putting out.
Yeah, there's
and the potential to earn money, which is always interesting.
Yeah. So are you guys interested in earning money?
You want to earn money?
Yeah. This is gonna be like a late night infomercial type of thing. There's a new app for iPhone 4s called GigWalk,
mm-hmm.
where you can go out.
It's GigWalk Mike, actually. Sorry. You're right. It's GigWalk.
Oh, okay.
I'm wrong.
Maybe we can just replay that over and over again.
You're right. Let's just move on.
So,
tell us about GigWalk.
So GigWalk is this app that's out there for the iPhone 4 where you guys can make money by using this app. So it's not making the app, it's using the app. And this app allows you to take lots and lots of pictures of things, and then Photosynth puts it together and posts it in a public forum.
Right, specific things. They want you to take pictures of local businesses, and this is available in 8 different cities. It's LA, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, Boston, Miami, Seattle, and Philadelphia. And essentially what you do is you sort of, there's 20 different tasks you have to complete to earn like your street cred.
Right.
Right? Your achievements.
Right.
So once you've proven that you can do these 20 different simple Photosynth tasks, then it allows you to start taking pictures of the local businesses.
Right.
And you can earn anywhere between $4 and $7 per synth.
Yes.
Which is, you can make a lot of money. There's a lot of businesses. These are major cities.
Yeah. So yeah. If you like find a mall that hasn't been synthed, and there are a bunch of like businesses in there that are
just
on the thing.
Walk down Main Street, any town, USA.
Boom,
boom.
You can probably do like 4 of these an hour. That
right?
can be up to $28 an hour.
Right? That's a hot meal at a fair price.
Yep. So the
my question is, and I'm going to pose this to you, Paul, because maybe you know the answer. Why
Obviously.
Not? Probably. Why not make this available for Windows Phone? What could possibly be the strategy there?
I'm not sure if Photosynth is on the Windows Phone yet. I don't know if that app is available or if the technology is behind it.
One would think, since it's a Microsoft product, it would be on a Microsoft phone with a Microsoft technology promoting Microsoft contest.
Yeah, there's. I think that's.
I mean, that's just my naivete.
A fantastic question to ask. I think it also might have to do with the density of people in all these major cities having these types of phones. So this project is meant to have very high definition pictures of mm-hmm. the local businesses. So think of all the things that we've done with like Bird's Eye View, where we hire businesses to take pictures of the aerial views of cities.
Sure.
Well, we can contract that out to like one or two people. But now I think Microsoft is looking into crowdsourcing some of these things and how effective
right.
they can be. And the fact of the matter is there is a larger iPhone 4 population today.
So
than
So you're
there
going
are with
the fish where the fish are theory.
Yeah, that reminds me of something brilliant that someone once said to me.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was
all right,
my
so
dad.
There it is. If you're an iPhone user, check it out. And there's a bunch of samples online. You can go to gigwalkmike.com. Otherwise, just install the app called GigWalk and start shooting and make some money.
Yeah, and let us know if you do it, and we'll share your photos since
we'll take
right
20%
here.
Commission.
That's right.
Thank you. All right, everybody. So besides Max Zuckerman, our beloved friend, there are other...
The Zuck.
There's other great things that come out of Stanford University.
What is it?
Stanford.
That's what it is. Stanford.
Stanford University. And one of these is a robotic arm that actually that holds a lightsaber or a foam lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
You hold the other one, and using a Kinect sensor, you can sword fight with this robot.
Get out of here.
Get out. Just like Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, well, I think Luke Skywalker would probably just destroy the robot.
You think?
Yeah, like there'd be no chance. Like he could just kind of do like one of these things
right.
and like push it off a
right.
cliff.
I mean, he'd use his like Jedi mind power.
Well, mind power doesn't work on robots.
Really?
I don't know.
I'd have to ask Yoda.
Well, I think we should ask the Niners.
Niners.
I'm sure they
know.
I'm
not sure.
But this is actually a pretty cool thing. So there's two modes for this robot. So
right.
it was actually a grad student class that was trying to do like actual robot design. And a couple of students put this robot together where the robot could attack.
Right.
And then once you defend with your own sword or your saber or the red foam thing.
You're the green one.
You're the green one. Once you block it, it senses the resistance and then it tries to do a different attack from a different angle.
Right.
Now, the really cool thing is that they decided to use the Microsoft Kinect so that when you try and attack the robot, it senses what angle you are attacking, and it has a, it tries to do like a perpendicular type motion to where you're attacking so it can defend itself.
Right, essentially it sees you.
Yes.
It sees you coming. It can follow your sword and defend against you.
Yeah, not only can it see you, but like it understands like the depth of where you are and the angles of everything, so it's a lot different than just like a camera where it has to figure out like exactly like where in three-dimensional space something is.
You know, I just feel like these people probably put a lot of time and effort and resources into it when all they needed to do was just get a friend to be like, hey, do you want a sword fight with me?
Yeah.
They didn't need to build all this.
Well, see, friends...
Just like just call somebody, post online, be like, hey, friend, you want to play with me?
Like a Craigslist ad.
Yeah.
Then you can go LARPing
around.
Think
of all that work that you would have saved. But instead, they built themselves a robot friend to sword fight with.
Well, you know, friends...
We all have passionate about things.
Yeah, I don't know. I think robots, you know, if you get killed by a robot, no one's going to sue the robot. They're just going to disassemble it. But if your friend accidentally kills you when you're lightsabering each other, then...
Right,
then
with your foam Nerf lightsaber.
Yeah. I'm sure there's... You
it
know,
happens.
It will be.
Things happen. There's also another story, which we'll link to as well, about interesting robotics, where they had a robot that can actually debone a ham.
What?
So, yeah, there's going to be no reason for humans at all pretty soon. If I don't need a human to debone my ham and I don't need a human to sword fight with, I mean, what do I really need people for?
I don't know, maybe to beat you at Words by Post?
I haven't found a human that can do that yet, Paul. Next! All right, for those of you who are loyal Channel 9 viewers, which I know you all are, you'll know that we have sort of sparked a partnership with the team here at Microsoft called The Garage.
Yes.
And what The Garage is it's sort of like a club for Microsoft employees who are passionate about various building and creating. And like, so if you want to build a project, and I am a really good designer, but I need an engineer, and I also need someone who can write code. The Garage is a club that sort of puts people together.
Yeah,
and
Microsofties specifically.
Microsofties together. I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's
pay
not
attention.
I mean, we're not just people. We're Microsofties.
That's who I am. That's my identity. I am a Microsoftie.
Yeah. So this is Microsoft's one of Microsoft's largest investments in spurring like recreational development activity.
Right. They all do this in their free time. They get together and they've got these crazy ideas to build these amazing projects, and they just sort of hobbyists that you know, this club links them together.
Yep.
And puts people of the right skill sets.
The cool thing is that like if you have an idea that actually seems to be, you know, kind of making an impact on the smaller groups of people, Microsoft will help you get it out to other Microsoft employees, or even like help you get on a path to releasing it to the public.
Yeah, in fact, a lot of the things that we cover every year at TechFest, which is sort of a combination between Microsoft Research, and a lot of these ideas were sparked from The Garage. You know, things like there was a 3D laser printer, there was a 3D a camera that took 3D pictures, a bunch of this stuff were all Garage projects initially.
Yeah, there was another cool one that there was... at the Worldwide Partner Conference that you were at.
I was there, my absence here.
they showed this thing called the Link Conversation Translator.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so...
I've seen that earlier, Paul, in TechFest, and I've done a story on it about a year and a half ago.
Okay, well, I actually heard people talking about this 3 to 4 years ago when I was talking about
the
vision.
Well, I knew about the idea that started 5 years ago.
Yeah.
No,
about 10 years ago when I was playing games online,
right.
I had a really difficult time
working
with my team.
I was still in elementary school 10 years ago. So.
What, were you like a substitute teacher? was that like your second or third career as you're about to retire?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, first of all, let's tell them about the Link Translator. It's essentially it's a chat device.
Well, I mean, everyone already knows about this.
We've been talking about it for years now. For those who don't, though.
Yeah, for just in case you've
been following Paul's career
under a rock. Yeah, my BBS, you know, Trade Wars career. But what this is if you are instant messaging with somebody, it knows the native language of each of the parties. So if you instant message somebody in English and their native language is, say, German, it will translate it as it is being IM'd to that person, and it shows up in their screen in German, and then they can enter their chat text in German, and it comes to you in English.
Yeah.
So this is actually a pretty cool, like, use of the translation technologies
Absolutely.
That we have and be able to integrate this right into our IM client, which is Link.
And there's actually an audio version of this as well. I don't know if it's out yet. It could still be in the garage phase or the MSR phase, where you can speak to your computer and it will speak to your German friend
Man,
in German.
That is some next level stuff.
Like, some next level. We'll talk about that next year.
Yeah, or you know, when Star Trek comes out 10 years ago and they do it on there. Like, it's a make-believe thing, and now it's becoming reality.
It's becoming real. It's amazing.
Hello, computer.
Yeah.
And one of the awesome things that's come out of this garage club, which started small and has just blown up, is they've built in this really cool new space.
Yeah.
Now they have their own building. It's all, like, futuristic, high-tech, open workspace, really cool stuff.
Yeah, they took one of Microsoft's, like, super old buildings that didn't have, like, had a terrible design because
right.
there was, like, all these confusing hallways and there are not
Sounds
a lot
like
of windows.
My office building.
Yeah, it's pretty much like Laura's. And it's, like, 50 or 60,000 square feet. It was, like, a six-month redesign. And now they actually built in, like, all these, like, floor-to-ceiling windows.
Yeah.
And get this, there's an actual garage door to open up one of the conference
wow.
rooms.
Wow, that's genius.
Yeah.
Someone who's the mastermind behind that creative vision.
Yeah, making the garage.
Amazing.
Well, I mean, you know why they did it, right? No, okay. No, I'll give you. The reason why they did it is because
made the garage door?
Yeah.
What are you asking
well,
me?
Well, the reason why is because there's so many like software developers that have like come from like garage startups where it's like they've been sitting like in an actual garage somewhere, like
right.
coding away for months or years.
I figured they would have called it the mother's basement then.
No, that's where gamers sit.
Oh, I was getting confused.
The garage is where programmers,
the sun-fearing people,
hack away.
Gotcha. Anyway, we actually did a campus tours. I think Nick Fillingham might be posting that soon on Channel 9. You'll do a campus tours of the garage space so you can get a bit better look at it there. And we've covered a bunch of their science fairs, which we'll link to as well, so you can sort of get a better idea if you're not already familiar with some of the projects that people within the garage are working on, because it's actually really cool stuff. So congrats to, his name is Quinn Hawkins, he's the director of the garage. Congrats to them for really taking what was just a nugget of an idea, and now here it is, real life, actual,
yeah.
established. Successful?
Absolutely.
Microsoft, making dreams come true.
I know. When you said nugget, though, I started thinking of McNugget. I kind of got off track.
You lost me?
Yeah.
I hope they bring the McRib back soon.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be exciting.
Special number 5.
Okay. All right, everybody, that wraps it up for this week. We want to thank Lightbulb Larry Larson for joining our show and telling
yes.
us all about...
Sharing his app.
Sharing his app and things like that. And it's good to be back. Just want to say it's good to be back. I will be here next week.
It is pretty nice to have you back,
it is,
in
right?
all honesty.
Is it?
I feel this is probably one of our best episodes yeah. this week.
I concur.
Yes.
Dear friend, Paul. All right, with that, we make sure to follow me on Twitter, at L Foy.
And me, and Paul Mestemaker, at Paul Mest.
At Paul Mest. And always comment. We love your comments. You got a lot last week.
People really did genuinely miss you.
Yeah, I think they were more upset that the stream was down.
Yeah. I don't know, I think it was about even.
It was about even. Either way, hopefully I'll be back next week, and we'll keep the stream up. And
and hopefully Laura and I will be videotaping our first tennis match together.
Sure, sure, let's do that. That's fun. Just like with Scrabble.
All right.
Humiliate Laura. More therapy for me.
Let's do it.
Great.